Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v intervjuju Radija Študent, v katerem tokrat gostimo Erika Copelanda, člana brooklynske zasedbe Black Dice, ki danes večer nastopi v Menzi pri koritu. So, hello, Erik.
Hi.
This is your first time in Slovenia.
Yeah, definitely.
I read that you played a show with Butthole Surfers a couple of days ago.
We did two shows, yeah.
And they played here last night, so what did you think of it?
I'd never heard them before. I know the name and I know
that... You saw them play this time?
Yeah. Well, we played with them in Brooklyn as well. But I don't know any of their records. I know their reputation, you know, they've got a pretty notoriously terrible, scary reputation.
Right. So what did you think of this concert yourself?
I thought it was good. To be honest, I felt like they were good, but my point of reference was just from nothing, you know? So I watched them, I was like, oh, they're playing well, they're really damaged people, but I was also really surprised that these people who have such a terrible reputation turned out to be like some of the
nice
warmest.
Guys.
Yeah, completely people who invited us over to their house when we're in Texas and stuff, so.
So maybe what makes for an exciting show when you're in the audience, when you're not playing?
When I'm not playing?
When you watch a band, what do you like to see?
From a band, you mean, or just
performance?
I guess I prefer going to a show that has less security, has less rules.
Security in what way?
For instance, I don't want to go to a show and have somebody check my bag. Yeah, that want to go through my stuff and see what. It makes sure I'm not doing something illicit or illegal, because I don't know. So I guess I like to have a show be more like a big party where people can do what they want, and there's a little bit of trust that everybody can maintain their responsibility and be cool.
So what do you expect from the band to see perform? From the if you were in the audience, what do you like to do to see band do?
I don't know. You know, I don't go to many shows outside of my own anymore. I feel like I kind of get my fill just being in those environments a lot. I guess I kind of like somebody to just throw it down. I don't want to hear somebody apologize on stage. I don't want to hear somebody stop playing the music to figure it out. I want to see somebody who's comfortable and it doesn't feel like they're putting on an act as much as they're up there just doing what they're really comfortable doing, I guess. And I don't know. It's something that's kind of subliminal. I don't think it's something that somebody can get up there and fake, you know?
You're describing much what I saw. Se upravičujem za tole manjše prekinitev, smo dobili en obisk v studio. So maybe now you just started this European tour about a week ago or so.
So
is this your first time in Eastern Europe?
We've been to Zagreb. I think that's as far as we've been.
That's actually about 100 kilometers from here.
Is it? I'm not actually sure. Is that east or west or?
It's considered east, I guess.
It was nice. I got really sick when I was in Zagreb.
When was this?
A year ago. We've been there twice, but for some reason we never did any other places. And to be honest, every other place in Eastern Europe I've kind of liked a little bit more than Zagreb.
Cool. So now you're going to tour here for about 2 weeks. Then you have almost a month in States.
No, we're here. We're actually in Europe for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And then we have about 7 days to get back to be back at home. But it's definitely not a restful 7 days. We have a lot of work to get done, and it's my birthday, and one of the guys I play with is married, and it's his anniversary. So I feel like we're just touching down, gathering our troops, and then having to just get back on the road.
But still, the tour in the States is going to be a longer one.
It'll be a longer one, but it's a little bit easier just because it's a little more independent too. You know, we can drive everywhere. Most of the cities we've been to a million times, so we can.
So, do you think it's better accepted in the States your music you play, or why is the tour longer there, or is it just that you can't get enough audience here in Europe, or?
No, I think it's just there are places in Europe that I don't know if we need to go back to all the time. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., you can't really. You can do the East Coast, and that will be fine. But for because we live in New York, to get to the West Coast, you commit. You're just like, well, to get to the West Coast, the fastest we can do the whole country is 3 weeks. But if we want to have a good time and not have multiple really, really, you know, like 13-hour drives a day, you sort of have to just start breaking it up differently. So
right.
It's more just the size of the continent, I think, that demands a longer tour.
So how important is playing live for you now? Is it do you release album to help you promote the tour, or is it the other way around?
I think of them differently. I mean, when we start writing music, I think of it as making a record. And it's a construction thing, you know, where I feel like my ideas are. It's like a long-term relationship with the ideas, and to me, once we get it live, I feel like I start to loosen up on those ideas, and I don't know. I right now I've been appreciating playing live a lot more, just because I'm trying to like loosen up playing live. So sometimes I feel like we really try to replicate something and. That's okay, but I like it when you can be playing with, or when I'm playing with these other two people, and you can kind of feed them a little something different, and you can see them respond, you know, that maybe they're a little confused at first, but then everyone starts giving a little bit more, and so being playing live, I think, is actually more rewarding when it goes well than making a good record, you know.
So Animal Collective played here last October, I think. And I particularly like their transitions between songs. And I remember reading, I think it was you who said that you basically turned your music around when you found out that you like these transitions in your music better than the songs you were playing. Do you remember this?
Did I say this?
I don't know. I think it was you, but
it
maybe somebody else from the band. So, you know, do you still do these transitions between songs when you play, or are you afraid you're going to have to change the music again?
No,
you may find something more interesting in these transitions.
It kind of works that way. I mean, I think we start and we have an idea of what the song are. They're sounds or rhythms that designated as being a certain song, you know, or has a certain title. But that's kind of where we start having to work a little bit harder is when, because we don't really stop between our songs. It's usually just a good
continuous.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes or an hour of just straight, and those are a good transition's much more rewarding than like a good song to me, you know, because
it's still that way.
Pardon?
It's still that way.
I think so. Yeah, it's just a little bit more dangerous. So I feel like if you're taking that chance and it's really successful, you're just. It ruled, you know.
Do you maybe remember what kind of music were you listening to at the time when your sound turned away from that more trash-driven sound to the more electronic one?
What was I listening to at that time?
Was it more electronic music or indie bands?
No, but, you know, I feel like I've always maintained there's some things that I have always appreciated in certain types of music. Like, I'm not a DJ. I don't listen to dance type music or but I really like the idea that somebody can keep music going for 3 hours or something and it'll be flawless. But at the same time, when I think about somebody playing like a DJ set or even like a Animal Collective set, it's usually really smooth to me. And that's something that I started rejecting a lot, where I was just like, screw that. I don't want to hear somebody smoothly do everything, and it's very like sleek, and I don't know. I think that's one way of doing it, but I think that the world can also benefit from having a really just challenging or bold or you know, like I'm not interested in making something that's just like this one rhythm or something that's going to be maintained the whole time. I think it's I think it's important for us to be able to kind of catch somebody in that like lock somebody into a trance and then throw something else at them and challenge what they were thinking about and bring them out of sort of this space that like a lost little space, you know.
So maybe can you say I know it's usually not nice to put takes on music, but can you describe your music? Maybe I mean it can be helpful to some listeners or it can be helpful to some listeners who don't know your music yet. So how would you describe your music? It's not indie pop, it's not noise music, it's somewhere in between. Or
I always think that people want to find, I feel like most people who create a lot of things, it's like this distillation until they get to this core thing that that's what they represent and that's what they're speaking about and that's what they want to deal with. And to me, I actually hope it's a complete opposite, that you can find, because I think a lot of people don't hear our stuff and immediately want to hang out with it, you know. But I think that once you get this little piece in it and you kind of give it a little bit of faith, I hope that it opens up a lot of ideas. I hope it actually challenges a lot of kind of stupid ideas that people maintain about, like, you know, I'm fed a lot of press. I have opinions about stuff I've never heard about.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like I need that kind of thrown back in my face. And I always hope that we're kind of throwing something in your face, but if, I don't know, that you can laugh at it or with us or... I don't feel like anyone's trying to like hurt anybody in that respects, you know.
So maybe could you say what makes your music different from the music of your contemporaries, or what's some unique feature of your music?
Maybe it, along the same lines, I feel like to me it's almost like the idea of somebody's participating in this world and they put something out and they want, in a musical world, they want somebody to identify with it and put them in this isolated place, you know. And to me, I always feel like we're always listening to music or listening to what's going on and trying to digest it all. So, you know, for instance, like Animal Collective have been extremely good friends of mine for a long time, but I consider them now to be like food to be eaten and digested. I don't look to them for any like place I want to be. I feel like it's something that I want to cut up a bunch. And I mean, and not them specifically even, but just the more I'm exposed to music, and it's the time to be exposed to tons of music, it seems naive to start holding these really strong opinions about shit that just doesn't really matter, you know. It's like somebody wants to say that you're this and just like, I'm not that, you're telling me I'm that, but it doesn't really matter, you know. I'm gonna do what I want at the end of the day.
So you mentioned Animal Collective, you changed DFA label for Pop Tracks, which is label for Animal Collective. So how did this come about?
I wish there was a cool story. It's just like our contract expired with DFA and we had nowhere to go, and they were aware of it because, you know, I was like living with one of them at the time, and they just kind of offered, and we had to talk about what we need and how we operate, and we cost some amount of money to work with, you know, for like a studio recording or something, but at the same time I feel like we're very on top of what we do, so they were really the only people we talked to, and it's been a nice and to be honest, they don't run the label, there's another person who does, and he signs the checks and makes the decisions and works with budgets, and he's turned out to just be a really, he's a weird dude, but he manages to like keep it together for us a little bit too, you know.
You said you lived with one of the Animal Collective guys, is it David?
I lived with Dave for four or five years.
You work in terrestrial tones with him.
I mean, not so much anymore. I mean, it was,
I think, wasn't there just an album just released not too long ago?
Maybe last year, 2005.
I think I saw something new, but I'm not sure.
No. It was just a product of living with him too. It was, we had stuff in our house and would jam, and then eventually we were just like, oh, we should to a record. And then from there, they were just more like projects. It was never a band as much as they were just kind of working on projects. And
So can you maybe just say, is there some advantage of being signed to a smaller label? If you compare the Portrex and DFA?
No, completely.
It's surely a more personal thing for you.
No, because DFA, it's really a small business. It's really only two people who we ever had to deal with on a business level. But the scope of their operation was based on an extremely professional, method, that when... When we got there, they're like, this is what you do, and you sell this many records, and you go out on tour like this, and we had never done anything like that. It was exciting. It was way beyond our budget, So I'm excited that we got to take advantage of it, but it's not how I want to run my band or my business, And so working with someone like Potrax, it's nice to know that someone's watching what you're spending in a very different way, because it's not like things get out of control, but they kind of can. If we go, for instance, when we were on DFA, we were asked to do two shows in Europe, and we did it with this crazy professional company and like a stage manager, just stuff we didn't need, but it was put to us in this way where it's like, it'd be really good for you to do it. And at the end of it, they were like, well, that was your tour budget. And we were like, we haven't toured, we played two shows, when we go out to tour for a record, it's like 2 or 3 months we need, and learned our lesson.
This is a better arrangement altogether then.
Yeah, it's more of an uphill battle, but I'm grateful to be able to, we're involved in every step of the way, and I feel like I feel like we don't let anything slip by us or no one's blowing smoke up our ass anymore,
Yeah, sure. So maybe if we say a few words about your new album, it's called Repo, or is it Repo?
Repo?
Repo.
Uh-huh.
So to me, it seems one of the less accessible albums in your discography. The less accessible, yeah.
Why?
It's not as accessible. I don't know. Maybe I just didn't give it enough listens or something. It doesn't give me nothing to hold on to, maybe. I don't know. The previous one was nice with its repetitiveness, and it was sort of very psychedelic and gamelan influences. But this new one, I'm still looking for stuff to hold on to. Is this just my perception? Does it need maybe more listens than your other albums?
Well, it's like we were talking about earlier. To me, I feel like somebody wants something to sink their teeth into, And I feel like a lot of music that's deemed psychedelic is like this jam. It's like this riff, and you kind of get in, it'll have some cool sounds or something. But to me, Repo is actually to me, it's like a completely modern record, and I say that because I feel like I when I watch television, I can watch television. I don't know how long is Repo. Let's say it's 45 minutes.
Right.
If I watch 45 minutes of television, I can't even tell you how many sounds hit me. How many? And it strangely, you hit this trance with something like that, where you're really just sitting there and it's overwhelming, and you get nothing out of it unless you're really willing to get into it. And to me, that was sort of a model of sort of the world right now, except in modern music, where it's like they just want a rock band, and I think that's one way to do it. But to me, my relationship with the audience isn't that you like that, so I know that we should follow that path or something,
Right. We're just going to make a short music break, and we'll continue the interview later. Sem pozabil, kateri komad, ampak sta nove plošče, tretji komad bomo slišali.
Earnings plus interest. Thank you.
maybe one completely random question. Why is your band called Black Dice? Is there a particular reason behind it?
It was a name of a street gang.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It was a street gang from New York, and we were trying to think of a name that was the one that was unoffensive. And to be honest, I like it now because it doesn't reference anything. You know, I feel like you hear the name Black Dice and it could be a hip-hop band, or it could be a hardcore band. And to me, I like that it's sort of anomalous, but it's also kind of got its own identity now, you know?
Right, so maybe a few more words on a Repo album. So it seems that Gang Gang Dance and Animal Collective, both bands you shared a practice room with, if I remember. So with their last albums, they both went more into pop-oriented music or pop-structured songs. So what is your opinion on pop-structured music or classical, conventional songwriting?
I mean, I really only listen to reggae music at home, and, you know, not only, but I don't put music on that's there to challenge, you know, like my ideas too much. To me, the trajectory of going from making a lot of challenging music to making sort of pop music isn't that exciting to me. I feel like that path is well trodden, so I support them as people and I wish them all the best, but their records are less and less my, you know, I'm not their audience now. I don't know. So I reserve my opinion. I'm just like, oh, it's cool, but yo, like, I'm not going to go to your shows or anything.
I understand. So maybe I'm interested, how do you understand the term experimental? Because I talked once to Sean Booth from Otekar, and he said that they're considered to be this experimental electronic band. And he said that they're actually not experimental because they know where they want to go with their music. Is this the same for you?
No.
Music drive you, or do you drive the music?
I respond to things when I don't know what to make of it. So when I'm working on something, if I get to a point where I'm like, oh, that sounds like Mudhoney, then I'm like, all right, you got to work a little bit harder. But I also feel like experimental music's one of these ghettos where how many bands are called experimental who are doing the same thing that was experimental music 40 years ago or 50 years ago? And it just seems like there's a whole new world to allow you to do so much more. And to me, at least, I feel like it's like an open, just like, anything goes to me right now, and I'm very surprised how sort of opinionated and prejudiced most people are, especially about experimental music. It's like, can only be made on analog equipment. It's like, it's kind of a load of shit, man. Like, just loosen up and don't make it with that and see what happens. You know, like, how far can you remove yourself from these preconceived ideas before you're just sort of doing what everyone else does?
So maybe when you record the Repo, how different is the album you hear now from the ideas you had before you started recording?
I feel like I don't go into making a record with any ideas. I mean,
you just go in studio and start playing?
No, I mean, I have like a room that I work in, so I go into the room and I just start working. And sometimes with Bjorn and Aaron, but a lot of times just by myself. And I like discovering things. That's experimental, to actually like discover something that you've never heard or you've never thought of, and then to match that with two other people who are doing the same thing, and all of a sudden I feel like I don't know what I'm making, you know?
Right. So we're running a bit short in
time. Sure.
So maybe a few more questions about the gig tonight. Are the songs you're going to play be mostly from the Repo album?
Right. We can't play old songs. I mean, we basically make a body of work for a certain amount of time and then just trash it.
So do you follow the structure of songs on... I mean, do you...
We try to. I mean, it's not like no one's counting numbers while we're playing, but...
Is it more enjoyable to try and recreate the songs from the album, or to try and deconstruct them, or try new things? Or...
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, it gets boring to play it the way it sounds. But we each have an individual relationship, and everyone's parts are pretty expressive. So, for instance, my parts, I loosen up, especially as the tours go on. I'm just like, you know, I'll do what I want on this part, but it's maintained. It's within a time frame at least.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of venues do you prefer? These small clubs or maybe a bit bigger venues? Does the feedback from the audience affect your sets?
Yeah, definitely. Although, to me, I like it to be loud. I don't care what the room's like. I want a good PA. I want it to be loud and sort and more just like a party. I mean, I don't want to go to a show, again, I don't want to go to a show where someone's telling me what to do or that I can't drink a beer or that I can't smoke or that I have to go there. Or, you know, I don't want, and I'm a small guy, I don't want some security dude pushing me around. I have no defense.
Mm-hmm. So maybe one more question. How do you know when you played a good show or a bad show, that can a bad show happen still? Or was that...
Yeah, bad shows happen. A good show is, the music is happening and I am participating in it, but I don't know what's going on. But I'm psyched and I'm just like, shit, this is ruling, and all of a sudden like magic happens. But a bad show is when I'm completely confused and struggling, you know?
Right.
But that's, you know, it's usually somewhere in between there. And I appreciate that we kind of put it on the line sometimes, because...
So one last question. Is there something you would like to say to the listeners or people who are going to attend the gig tonight?
I hope they want to come hang out, you know. I don't know what this venue is like. I don't know what people are like here. I know it's Sunday.
Monday.
I hope people come out on Mondays then. I don't know.
I think they will. So, this is it. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you.
To je bil torej intervju Radio Študent, v katerem smo se pogovarjali z Erikom Koplandom, s članom zasedbe Black Dice, ki v podpori domačih cirkus danes ob 9:00 se mi zdi nastopil v Menzi pri koritu, oziroma ob 9:00 se odprejo vrata, Black Dice pa ne malo poznaje, verjetno. Intervju sem pripravil Goran.
Intervju Radija Študent.